Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
It's a lot. And I had been telling my dad, because I had been coming out crying, I'd been coming out of sight, so I had been telling my dad, and he came in and watched. And after he saw what was going on, he gave me the green light to go ahead and quit. If you want to quit and be done, then go ahead. You know, I don't want you to keep going through this. And so we went home, and I went to my room, and I worked on homework and stuff, and man, God just really began to speak to me. And in it, the one thing I knew is that I was like, you know what? I know you've made me the head and not the tail. I know you've made me above and not beneath. And I'm not going to settle for less. I don't know what's happening here, but I know you have my back. And I don't want to quit this. I don't want to be a quitter. So I did. I stuck with it. I told my dad, I'm going to stick with it. And I did. I stuck with it. And he gave me a bunch of scriptures during this time that talked about being a servant and having a servant's heart and laying down the things that we want that we might be able to serve the people around us. And that when we do that, it allows him to lift us up. So I went in, and part of perspective in this story is that the one person I had standing with me through all this, because she was the only other girl, decided to quit, that she wasn't going to stick with it. So now it was me by myself, which is much harder than when you have somebody who's sticking it out with you. So I was like, okay, nope, you already talked to me about this, so this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to stick with it. So I did. I stuck with it. And when I went in, because this other girl had quit, I knew, like, there's really nothing. I'm never going to get to play. So, you know what? I'm going to help her. And I did. I told her, I can do this. I can keep track of score and baskets and all that stuff for you. I'll take all of that notation for you. And so I did. She was like, okay. So she gave it to me, and I did. Every game, I went out there, and I just took the score down. Didn't play. The only time I played was during practice, and that was it. And I was like, you know what? I guess if this is how it's going to be all year, it's going to have to be this way. Like, but during Christmas, I was home with my parents, and usually in high school, you have a Christmas tournament that your teams go to. And everybody was playing, but I wasn't going to be playing, and she didn't ask me to go, so I didn't plan on doing any of it. But I got a phone call at the house from the varsity coach, and she was like, hey, Rebecca, what are you doing? Are you out of town? How's it going? You know, and I told her, no, I'm just home folding laundry. That's what I was doing. And she was like, well, you know, we have a tournament this weekend. And she's like, and I'd really like you to come. And I was like, to play? And she was like, yeah, to play. I want you to come and play. And I was like, okay, sure. So I told my parents, I was really excited. I had like this little bowling bag type thing that they gave me for a uniform, like for carrying my uniform. And this uniform that the numbers were like peeling off and stuff. But I was like, you know what? I'm gonna take it, took it. When I showed up to the tournament, she gave me this huge bag that I think I probably could have fit in because it was enormous, with warm-ups, jerseys, and everything that I needed. And when I went, I figured, okay, God, like, this is awesome. This is a good stepping stone. So I was really excited, but I didn't really expect to play a lot since I hadn't really played all season. And from that moment on, I became a starting five on a varsity team my freshman year. And that was for the rest of the year. And that's the thing, is it may seem small, but as a teenager, when you're going through things, it's very easy to quit. It's very easy to let go and be like, you know what? This is not happening the way I want it to happen. So since it's not going my way, since I'm not happy with what I'm seeing, I'm just not going to do it. But God, very young, taught me a lesson on learning to wait on Him, not seeing things through everybody else's eye, which really did make fun of me and everything else because I was just somebody who was sitting on a team by myself. I chose not to pay attention to any of that and say, God, I know who you are and what you've promised me and who I am in you. And because I know that, I'm not letting go. I'm going to wait until I see it through. I'm going to wait until you move. I don't care if it takes a long time. I don't care how long down the line. I'm going to sit here and I'm going to be who you need me to be until the time that you want to give me something else. And our perspective has to change to that. We have to come to a point where we understand that we have a God who died on the cross for us, who gave his life and then rose again, that we might have the Holy Spirit to guide us on a regular basis, to give us everything that we need, to show us who we are, to give us something new, to show us the mysteries of the kingdom, that we might become powerful. You have that in you. You have that inside of you. And it's just waiting to unlock those mysteries that are placed there. He wants to continue to show you more. It's a living thing. So this morning, I just pray. I read in the Bible, it talks about how we need to actually have eyes to see and ears to hear. And my favorite part in that is that it says, and a heart that understands. That's the thing, is that we can't go based on what we see. As a church, that's not how we should operate. That's not where we should be. We should be in a place where we understand that he's different and he gives us promises that are different. He gives us things that are different. And because of that, we should be operating in the kingdom. And that right there says that we should be understanding with our heart. He's placed inside of you. He's in you. You are a temple for him. And he's just waiting. And those things that get poured out, those things that you hear, those things that you see, aren't as important as what he's saying to you, what he's placing in your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So speak life. Let's change the narrative of what the church is doing today. Let's become different. Let's become more powerful. Let's do the things that he's promised, because there's people who need us. There's people searching. There's people who need to know who he is. And when we change the perspective, we learn to operate in the Holy Spirit. We become one, a church that's in unity, not coming against each other, not arguing over little things, but understanding that we love each other, that he died on a cross because of a love that was that powerful. And now that love flows through us, and that's what we should be sending out, not only to one another, but outside. We have to change the perspective. We can't just sit here and look at things the same way we always did. We got to allow him to move, and we got to allow him to show us what he wants to give us. So this morning, as Jason comes up, I just pray that you'd have those ears to hear and the heart that understands. Just allow God to pour into you and give you new things this morning.
Good morning. Happy Easter, everybody. I want to drag this over. I'll get that water later because I'm going to need it. Had cotton mouth all morning long, drank a bunch of water. I still got cotton mouth, and I need to go potty. Thank you guys for coming early. We, as a worship team, have really had to come really early. And I'm telling you right now, I was comfortable. I was really comfortable in bed, and I did not want to get up. I was being ministered to this morning. Sorry. I was being very much ministered to by Pastor Pillow and Sister Sheet. They were ministering to me all night long, and I just didn't want to leave. So anyhow, thank you guys for coming. Let's, if you guys have the Bibles, app. Let's go to Ephesians 1, 7 through 8. It says, in him, we have redemption through the blood. Everybody say the blood. We have redemption through the blood. This is your Easter message for the morning. The forgiveness of sin according to his riches of his grace, which he made to abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence. Lord, we just come before you right now, God. Lord, we just thank you what you did at the cross, Father God. We thank you for the blood. Lord, we just never want to forget the blood. We don't want to just remember the blood on Easter, Father. Lord, that we just live every day that we live by grace, Father God. It's the blood that pleads over our life, Father God. It's the blood, Father God, is why I can live today and tomorrow. It's the blood why I got through what I went through yesterday and the day before and the day before. Lord, thank you for the blood. In Jesus' name, Father. It is what he did on Calvary that we can be forgiven. It doesn't matter what you've done in your past. Don't matter what you said. It doesn't matter what you guys did last night, Saturday night, or Friday night. It's always the blood that can cover multitudes of sins. It's through his mercy that he can forgive and forget. When you ask for repentance, the Lord changes your lives 180 degrees. You know what that means? It means you're going this way. Now you're going this way. I mean, it's a life-changing experience. It doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen in a couple of days. It's a lifestyle that gradually changes. And it's nothing that you definitely don't want to try to do on your own, but you rely on the grace of the Lord every day. Every day, you just pursue the Lord. Every day, you pursue the Lord. Every day, and slowly your life starts changing. It's not about the do's and don'ts. This is kind of a quick little salvation message. This is not my message. This is just the intro. But it's not about the do's and don'ts. It's just about loving him. And it's about receiving what he did on Calvary, on the cross, that your life is start changing. One second, your language starts changing. You keep serving him, reading the Bible, keep going to church, serving the next day. Alcohol, it's not an issue anymore. I'm not going to lie, it's not magic. It's not going to happen overnight. But it's an everyday occurrence. So, and I say all this because it's the blood, it's the forgiveness that we live every day, that the Lord forgives you. And he just takes it all away and he throws it into the sea of forgetfulness. Amen? All right, that was just my introduction. And no, the sea of forgetfulness, is there really a sea of forgetfulness in heaven? I don't know. I doubt it. But I think what God was trying to say is he forgets, he forgives, and he forgets. So that is what the Lord has done for you for today. That was it's Easter, so I had to throw that in there. Today's message is called Forgiving One Another. Let's go to Ephesians 4:29. It says, do not let unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only that is helpful for building others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, to whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ has forgiven you, just like what the blood has done for you. Recently, this is a message that kind of came to my mind recently. Currently, at my job, there's been an employee that I'm working with. And I'm telling you what, there's just some things that he's been doing lately that's just been getting underneath my skin. And I'm telling you, Lacey can tell you. I just come home and I was just like, oh, Jesus, have mercy. You guys know what I'm talking about? Whether it's family, whether it's friends, there's always that somebody that just kind of gets underneath your skin. You know what I'm talking about? And I know sometimes I just feel like what he's doing is not right. And that's not the way I would do it. Not saying I'm holier than thou, but it's just things that it's not going my way. It gets underneath my skin. And I've grown in a straight up attitude with this individual. And it was affecting me. It was affecting my work. I would think about it. I have a computer that I look at and I can see exactly what he's doing. And I was just like, there is no way. Lord, there's just no way. He looks better than I do, but there's no way in the world that he can do this. You know what I mean? It's not adding up. And Lacey, and I came home, Lacey, one day we were driving. And she said, well, you know, you got to check your heart. The Lord knows what he's doing. The Lord knows what you're doing. Check your heart. You got to keep a positive attitude. Pray for him. I don't know if you remember, Lacey, but it was hard. And I won't go into detail, but I was, and they put him in a position at work, and it just broke my heart. It broke my heart. I mean, I was happy for him, but he was looking good. And I was like, Lord, I just know it's not right. And then I said, I kid you not, I prayed for him. I said, Lord, I gave it to you, and I'm going to do my job according to your word. I'm going to do my job the way you called me to do my job. And I kid you not, within 2 weeks, 2-3 weeks, things just kept going on. My boss called me into his office, and he said, and he just flat out told me, you know, this and this and that and that, and he's doing that. And I was just like, and immediately the Lord said, have mercy. I said, all right. And my boss looked at me and says, I put it in your hands. Should we fire him? It's up to you. And I was just like, oh my God. And I just remember what the Lacey was telling me. What's your heart? And as angry as I was, my boss gave me a couple of days to think about it. We met again and we made a decision. He's going to keep his job. And it was just felt like it just, we just have mercy. And to this day, we work together. And it's still an everyday issue, I'm not going to lie. this weekend was definitely tough. But I had to check my heart. Check my heart that it's pure. It could have easily became bitterness. I could have easily just fired him and there'd have been issues. And after he was gone, and if I didn't take care of the issue, there would have been the next guy. Then the next guy. It's an ongoing issue. Another situation, real quick. Lacey and I, when we were dating, we dated for about 3-4 years. And things went pretty much to hell between the both of us. We broke up. There were things that were definitely said. Things that were done, and there was a lot of hurt. A lot of hurt between us. I moved to Oregon. She moved to Michigan. I stayed in Oregon for a year. She stayed in Michigan for that year. We decided to come together. We came back to San Diego. We got married in San Diego, where we lived for years. I mean, I was born and raised in San Diego, but we went back to San Diego and got married. And we just never dealt with the hurt. I mean, there was some true scars that were made between words and action. And we've been married 8-9 years now, and we have to work through what happened 10 years ago. It's issues that are, you ask for forgiveness, you ask for the Lord's grace, and you can say it with your mouth, I forgive you. I forgive you. I forgive you. I forgive you. Sometimes words aren't enough. Let's go to Luke 17, 3-4. It says, so watch yourself. If your brother sins against you, or your girlfriend, you rebuke them. And if they repent, forgive them. Even if they sin against you seven times, and seven times come back to you and says, I'm sorry, you forgive them. These days, it's so easy to be offended. I mean, with this whole movement that's been going on the last 10 years, being, you got to be correct, you got to be careful, you got to tiptoe around people. It is very easy to offend people. Am I right? Am I wrong? I mean, you guys know what I'm talking about? I mean, don't get me wrong. The Lord has told us, command us to be kind to one another, to love, to be gentle. But it's so easy to offend people. I mean, you can pass gas the wrong way and somebody will take an offense to it. It's the way that we're going. And it's just easy to offend people. And it's going to be easy to be offended. But check your heart. Let's check our hearts. There are choices that we have to make with the Father's help and His grace that we have to overcome. We have to choose to forgive. There have been people in your life, I'm just to be straight up. There are some people that in here that straight up been molested as a child. There's people in this church that I can guarantee that you were at another church and you were hurt by the pastors. You were hurt by the leadership. There's people in this church that you've been hurt by in this church. Maybe you've been hurt by the leadership. Maybe it's family members at a funeral and something was said and done and it scarred you. I think it's time that we start receiving healing. This is not just a message about you have to forgive, forgive, forgive. It's about healing. And being forgiven, just as God did on the cross at Calvary. I was just saying I'm sorry may not be enough sometimes. My wife and I, we have apologized to each other about 100 times. And there's just sometimes you just be going in life and something happens and it comes up again. And you say, I thought I dealt with ready. I thought we dealt with this already. Why is these feelings coming up? You guys know what I'm talking about? You say you forgive it. You even go as far as repenting to the person, getting on your hands and knees and say, I'm sorry. And 2 months later, something happens. You're just like, Then you question yourself, did I really forgive them? Something that Pastor Henry taught me a couple months ago. And I'm trying to use it. When those feelings come up, I want you guys to try something. You've physically asked for forgiveness. You physically received forgiveness, and you still have these feelings just on the spot. I speak life into this person. I speak life into my boss. I speak life into my family members. Let's pray for them. Let's just speak in tongues. Let's just pray in the spirit. Let's stir our hearts and stir our spirits. You know what I mean? When you start speaking in tongues, you start knocking down some doors in the spirit realm. I mean, it works. It's stuff that really works. If with anything in speaking in tongues, I was just watching a video on YouTube. They get all these religions together and they do their own little prayer. They hook up the little cha-chings on their head and, you know, little wires going, I don't know. And they're looking at brain waves when people pray. Every single religion, when they pray, all the brain waves are just going crazy. Just going crazy. Because it's all mind. It's all mind stuff. When you pray in the spirit, and they got the Christian who prays in the spirit, it's all in the spirit realm. It's not mind. And you're not praying out of your mind. You're not praying out of your own, what do I know? You know, I need to say the right words. It's all in the spirit. So if you're feeling, and if one of you have just, you know if you're bitter against somebody, you know you have offenses against somebody, and you want to get over it. Something I'm learning, I'm preaching to the choir. As for wife, I'm not perfect. Speak in tongues. If you don't know, if you don't know how to speak in tongues, ask the Lord, ask the leadership. Get baptized in the Holy Spirit. Speak life into one another. Speak life into somebody you really hate. Can you say that word in church? I don't know. But if you really, it's real life. It's real. You hate somebody. Speak life. Watch your heart change. You'll see. It'll start changing. It'll definitely start changing. Amen? Speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues. You know what that does for you? This is how I fight my battles. Don't we sing that? This is how I fight my battles. It may look that I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. Forget about what you're surrounded by, what you think you're feeling. You're surrounded by the Lord. This is how I fight my battles. Let's just get in speaking in tongues. That's all I can say. You can do prayer with the mouth. Fine. That's great. Lovely. But let's move in the spirit realm. And let's get over our junk. Let's forgive somebody. Let's go ask for forgiveness. You know you offended. Because we're human. We got mouths. We all say something that's just stupid. And you walk away. You're like, well, that was stupid. But let the pride down. Go ask for forgiveness. Somebody is hurting you. Speak in tongues. Pray over them. Let's just pray over our enemies. Except Satan. Matthew 18, 21, 22. Then Peter came to Jesus and said, Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? You guys know what I'm talking about? You guys remember this in the scripture? Can you imagine what Peter was, you know, what he was thinking? Let's just go in the mind of Peter for a second. He asked God a legit question. How many times, Lord, blah, 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 and he thinks of a number. Did he think that he just came up with a number just randomly? Or did he say, seven's a good number because it's a holy number? It's the number of heaven. Seven, you know, seven. You can't go wrong with seven. This is the Lord. Seven, Lord? Or was he thinking, God, seven is a big number. That is a lot of times to forgive somebody in one day. Now let's go what Jesus was thinking, sitting down over here. And he says, seven, Lord? Jesus is like, ay, mijo. That's a cute number. That is a very cute number. But no, the Lord says, Jesus answers, I tell you this, not just seven times, Peter, which is cute. I understand your heart. What about 70 times seven? Ay, ay, ay. I mean, I'm no math wizard, but that's a lot of numbers. And I'm not even about to figure, I don't know how Peter figured that out. Rocks, dirt, I don't know, sticks. But that's a lot of numbers. That's a lot of forgiving. That's a lot of forgiving. Maybe he busted out his little stone tablets. I don't know. But I think he got the point. Let's go to Matthew 6, 14. I'm wrapping it up here. Last time I preached, I went way over my time. So I'm trying to cut it short. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, when they talk about you behind your back, when they insult you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others of their sins, check this out. This is deep. This is heavy. You guys ready? The Father will not forgive you. You will not enter the kingdom of heaven if you have bitterness in your heart. Forgiving people is not an option in God's eyes. I don't know if you noticed, my dad and I were talking. The whole New Testament talks about relationships. Between you and God? No. I mean, it does, but a little bit. But he talks about relationship between you and other people. So I just died, okay. Constantly, the Bible is talking about relationship between you and another person. Keeping relationship, keeping forgiving. More than he does talking about with him and God. God's like, okay, you know, our relationship between you and me, perfect, good. But what's your relationship with other people? He's constantly talking about relationships with other people. He's driving a point. Yes, you're hurt. He understands that. Yes, it's tough. It's a tough thing to do, to forgive and get over. But the Lord was very clear in Matthew, says, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. God cares more about your relationship with other people than he cares about relationship between you and you and him. Ask the Lord if you may have issues or if you offended. Just that one person. Just one person. Can we all just close our eyes right now? I would ask you to take out pen and paper, but no, we're not. Just close your eyes. And I'm sure that some people have a list. Some people may not have a list. But let's just ask for one person right now. Ask for one person. Lord, I just ask right now, Lord God, that you just speak to this congregation. I just ask that you just speak to the Saguarita House of Worship right now, Father God, that you would put one person in our heart. Just start with one. Baby steps. Baby steps. It's that slow 180 turn that you're going to be making. Baby steps. It's a process with the Lord. So I just ask right now. I just ask that you just guys just ask the Lord. Just give you one person. That's all. Wait, I don't want to. I'm sure the Lord doesn't want to overwhelm you. Lord, I pray for grace. I plead, we thank you for the blood. Make us new. Wash us new. Cleanse our heart that nothing will stand in the way between me and the Father. Lord, do what needs to be done. Speak to us, Father God, what needs to be done to move on and take that step so we can enter the kingdom of heaven when it's time. In Jesus' name, Father. Amen. It was a short, simple, little Easter sermon. The Lord has forgiven us, but he also expects us to forgive. Just how he's forgiven us. This was kind of like a two-part. I was kind of going in a different direction on this message. And I scratched the first half. And I decided this needs to be talked first before I go into the second half. And when I have a chance to do the second half, only God knows. But the second half talks about now we can be carriers of his presence. Now we can be carriers the Almighty God, and walking every day as carriers. You know that, you know, you see people walking around, they have the little, what do you call that, mask? Because they have, you know, airborne and whatever, and they're carriers of like the flu or influenza, whatever. Let's be carriers of his presence. But you can't be a carrier if you have an offense. Amen? All right, let's pray. Lord, we just thank you. For this Easter, Father God, thank you for your blood. Lord, I just ask that you just unite this church, Father God, as one, Father God, as brothers and sisters in the Lord. Lord, I just ask, Lord God, any offense, Father God, would just be broken in the name of Jesus, Father God. Any offense, anybody that just crawls underneath their skin, Lord God, I just ask that you would just help us knock down that wall. In Jesus' name, Father God, we just ask for your mercy, Father God. You are a good God. You are a good God. You are Yahweh. You are Jehovah Jireh. You are Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Mikadesh, which means you are God. You will provide. You're my healer. You're my banner. You are the Lord who sanctifies. And we thank you and we call out to you, Father God. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for this Easter. We just pray this in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. As Brother Dan comes up, let's just, he's good. God is good, amen? Let's just, can we just sing a little tune, just as in a little transition? I'm not a singer, don't laugh at me. Okay, laugh at me, I'm used to it. I won't hold any bitterness, but I am watching. But God is good, amen? God is so good. You guys know this one? God, you're so good. He's so good, he's so good to me. Let's sing, Lord, speak to him. Lord, you are good. God, you're so good. Brother Dan. God, you're so good. You guys sound like angels, come on. God, you're so good. You're so good to me. Sing one more time. Proclaim it. God.
Wow. I'm going to start out this morning by once again congratulating Brother Abe, yeah. Sister Micaiah. Yeah. For those of us who didn't know, we should have known. When the man runs across the stage 3 times and jumps 4 feet in the air, we should have known that something was up. He's usually a 1 foot jumper, but today it was 3 feet. He gave us a pretty good indication that something was up. I don't do this for a living, so. Wow, you know, you don't get to be white around the ears and not know something. You know, there was some wisdom behind when I told Pastor Hinder I'd be last. Because now I could say, wow, brother, sister Rebecca, brother Jason, you guys did an outstanding job. You guys have a good Easter. See ya. Just to get started this morning, just real quick, I'm going to share something with you. There was a couple, young couple, well, it was a couple, and they were enjoying their golden years sitting on the, swinging in their swing on their front porch, and just a beautiful spring day, and been sitting there for a while, just a gorgeous day, and the wife, she looks up, and she says, you know, honey, she said, like a big old bowl of ice cream. That sounds really good. He says, I think I'll go down to the corner market and I'll get us a big bowl of ice cream and I'll be right back. She says, well, I want one with chocolate syrup on it and some nuts sprinkled on top. And he says, okay, I'll be right back. He takes off. And she says, wait, you better write it down. He says, I don't need to write it down. I got it right here. So out the gate he goes, down the corner he goes. He's gone about 45 minutes and the wife's starting to really get worried. Finally, he comes, she sees him, he's coming through the gate, and he's coming back, and he has 2 ham sandwiches, one in each hand. And he goes up to the front porch, and he hands the wife her sandwich, and she opens it up, and she looks at it, and she says, I told you should have written it down, I wanted mayonnaise on mine. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was covered with water, so God created dry land to appear. And God created the stars and he cast them up into the sky that they would occupy the heaven. And God created fish of all types to occupy all the waters of the face of the earth. And God created birds and animals to occupy all the dry lands. And God said, let us create man in our image, in our likeness. And so it was. God created man. And when God created man, he knew that man would be of a sinful nature. He knew. And being that he knew that God would be of a sinful nature, he also knew that there would need to be a plan. I'm a planning superintendent, so you knew that had to come in here today, didn't you? But God knew there'd need to be a way for man to be forgiven of his sins and come back into his presence sin-free. We cannot live without God if we have sins that occupy us. So he had a plan. God had a brilliant plan, and he was very pleased with this plan. As a matter of fact, he was so pleased with it, about 1,000 years before the birth of Christ, God started to reveal his plan to righteous men that walked the face of the earth, because at that time, there were righteous men that found favor with God. Some of them were kings, some of them were prophets, and to the prophets, God spoke, and he revealed part of his plan. And about 700 to 800 years before the birth of Christ, here's what Micah tells us. He says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that is to be a ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from old, from everlasting." In a time of God's choosing, a leader was born, and his name was Jesus. And in Matthew 1:21-23, "She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. We know quite a bit about the birth of Jesus, but we just don't know a whole lot about the youth of Jesus. And we've all heard the story. He comes on the scene about 12 years old, and he's gone into Jerusalem, into the big city, to celebrate the feast of the Passover with his parents. And after about 3 days or so, they leave at the end of the feast, and they head back home with this group of people they're traveling with. And they get about a day's journey out from Jerusalem, and they realize that Jesus isn't with them. Oops, forgot Jesus. So Mary and Joseph, being the concerned parents that they are, they head back to Jerusalem to round up Jesus and find him and see where he's at so they can bring him home with them. And we all know the story. When they got there, after 3 days, they found Jesus. And where was he? He was in the temple. And in Luke 2:46-52, "And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spoke unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man." And at the time of God's choosing, Jesus came unto John to be baptized. And though John did not want to baptize Jesus because he felt unfaithful, here's what it tells us he did in Matthew 3:13-17. "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and thou comest to me. And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill the righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." The ministry of Jesus, he increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man, and by now Jesus' ministry was in full issuance. People, multitudes of people, heard the miracles of Jesus, and they sought him out, and people were believing in and following Jesus through the creation and development of what I call the four powers of faith. We've heard faith mentioned here this morning. I'm going to expound on that just a little bit. It was Jesus in the flesh that developed the continual forward motion of Christians to this day. And let me explain. If you heard of a man somewhere in the country going about causing the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the lame to walk, and continuously speaking of an everlasting life with God the Father and everlasting glory, would you not want to see this and check it out and find out what this is all about? If it was not true, or if it was true, would you not give anything for your family to share and have and share in some of this? More than likely, you would seek this man out and determine exactly what he was all about. As you sought after this man, you too would be caught up in the driving powers of Christian faith. And here's what that would look like. And this morning, I would like to ask you to do two things as we go through the power of faith. I'm going to walk you through what Jesus' life was like as he walked the face of the earth. And as he taught, he performed the miracles that he performed. I'd like to ask you all this morning real quick just to close your eyes. What we're going to do, and we're going to do a little role playing, and you could be yourself, but we're going to go back into the time of Jesus. We're going to be part of that group of people that we've heard talk throughout the country, throughout the towns that of Jesus and the miracles that he's performing. And we hear now that we're in town, and we hear that Jesus is just 2 miles out of town, just a little ways out of town. Wow, what it would be nice to go see Jesus. So we tell the family, hey, we'll be back. I'll be back in a few days. I've just got to go check this out. And you've been walking about a day and a half now, and more people are starting to, you have a deal, you're going the right direction. And because people are all going in the same direction as you are, and you must be getting close because people are getting tighter. And all of a sudden, you come up over a ridge. You've been walking a day and a half now. You're getting pretty tired. You've been telling yourself the whole way, if I could but just see Jesus. And you come up over the top of a ridge, and you look down on a beautiful little valley, little stream running down through the middle of it, big boulder out in the middle of it, and here's a man standing on a huge boulder speaking to the people that were completely surrounding him. And you don't need to have a sign. No one needs to tell you, hey, this is Jesus. That spirit within you, that Brother Jason was speaking about, that strong spirit within you, gives you a couple of elbows and a rib cage, and he says, hey, that is Jesus. Nobody needs to tell you that is Jesus. You know. And you work your way up as close as you can, and you're just so satisfied. Hey, that's Jesus. He's right there. I can see him. And you're content. You said, wow, it's everything now. It's a testimony. It's no longer just hearsay. It's testimony. His spirit's speaking to your spirit. You know that he's there. He's alive. You're looking at him. I see him in front of me. And all of a sudden, you're nice and quiet, and you're just in total peace. And that spirit that's dwelling within you again gives you the old elbow and the rib cage and says, whoa, wake up. What if you could but hear Jesus? If I could just hear Jesus. So now the crowds are getting pretty tight. You're in this valley, and it's pretty consumed. You have 10, 20,000 people. And you think, wow, I've got to get down to where I could hear Jesus. And you start working your way through the crowds. They're getting tighter as you get closer. And you get down to where the Spirit gives you the other nudge and says, whoa, what was that? What was that I hear? And you stop and listen, and it's the voice of Jesus. And you say, wow, I can hear what he's saying. I'm in complete satisfaction. I can see Jesus. I can hear Jesus. Listen to his voice. Listen to his message. How sweet it is. How everlasting sweet it is. And you just stand there for hours just listening and just watching Jesus and listening to what he has to say to you. And again, the Spirit gives you the nudge, that power that's burning within you. It says, if you could but touch Jesus, if you could but just touch Jesus. Again, you're in motion, power of faith, you're moving. We all know what power is. Power is energy that it takes to move something from one point to another. That's the power of Jesus, power of faith. He's got you walking. You don't even know, you realize you're doing it one foot in front of the other. You're squeezing down amongst all these people that have the same drive that you have. They're wanting to touch Jesus. And you finally get down there after what seems a long time, and you manage to touch the hem of Jesus' robe. And you're totally healed. You're totally satisfied in life. You have got to share this with your family. What is there left? I've touched him. I've seen him. I've heard him. I've touched him. What is there left? The greatest power of all is I want to serve Jesus. I want to serve Jesus. I want to take this to my family. I want to serve Jesus. That power, that motion, continuously going forward toward that everlasting life that Jesus was going throughout the countryside speaking. So we're there. It tells us in Matthew 9, 20 and 22, and behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. And so the ministry of Jesus continued. The multitudes continued to grow. Everywhere he went, people followed him. They wanted to hear him. They wanted to see him. They wanted to touch him. It was motion. It was faith in motion. I just want to touch him. I just want to see him. I want to hear him. All these people at different phases. But then we want to serve him. It was a fire burning within him. But at the same time, as the ministry of Jesus grew and the multitudes grew around him, so did the fear and the hate of the religious leaders, the high priests and the Sanhedrin. They were scared to death of Jesus. They were losing power. Their walk with God was not very firm, if they had one. And they were losing the grip on it, and they knew they were losing the grip on it. The multitudes were following this man who claimed to be the Messiah, the Son of God. They were giving up on what the high priest had to say, and they were following this simple man, Jesus. And at a time of God's choosing, Jesus relinquished his right of ministry and allowed himself to be taken by the authorities. There were six parts to Jesus' trial, three stages in the religious court and three stages before a Roman court. And he was charged in these trials with claiming to be the Son of God, the Messiah. And in the religious court, the trials before the Jewish authorities, the religious trials showed the degree to which the Jewish leaders, that is the high priest and the Sanhedrin, they hated him as they carelessly disregarded and broke many of their own laws in order just to rid themselves of this man they called Jesus. As we see in John 18, 19 through 24, the high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I even ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me, what I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I said. And when he had spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, answer thou, the high priest, though? Jesus answered him, if I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me? Now Annas had sent him bound into Caiaphas, the high priest. And then the Roman court was totally different. The trials before the Roman authorities started with Pilate. The charges brought against him were very different from the charges in his religious trials. He was charged with inciting people to riot, forbidding people to pay their taxes, and claiming to be king. Pilate tried to appease the animosity of the Jews by having Jesus scourged. And scourged means the Roman scourge with a terrible whipping designed to remove the flesh from the back of the one being tortured. In a final effort to have Jesus released, Pilate offered the prisoner Barabbas to be crucified and Jesus released. But to no avail. The crowds called for Barabbas to be released and Jesus to be crucified. And Pilate granted their demand and surrendered Jesus to their will. The trials of Jesus represent the ultimate mockery of justice. Jesus, the most innocent man in the history and future of the world, was found guilty of crimes and sentenced to death by resurrection. And leading up to the death of Jesus, here are some of the sufferings that he went through. Jesus was stripped of his clothing and offered wine mixed with myrrh or gall to drink after saying, I am thirsty. He was then hung between two convicted thieves and died some 6 hours later. During this time, the soldiers affixed a sign to the top of the cross stating, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews, and they wrote it in three different languages. They then divided his garments among themselves and cast lots for his seamless robe. This is according to the Gospel of John. And also in the Gospel of John, after Jesus' death, one soldier pierced his side with a spear just to be certain he was dead. And in Mark 15, we find 17 through 20, again and again, they hit him on the head with a stick. They spit on him. They fell on their knees and pretended to honor him. After they had made fun of him, they took off the purple robe. They put his own clothes back on him. Then they led him out to nail him to a cross. And even after all this, what did after Jesus was hung on the cross, waiting to die a horrendous, painful death, what did Jesus do? He picked right back up in his ministry where he left off. Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? He listened to the confession of a fellow crucified criminal beside him. He listens to his confession, and he forgave him his sins. And he says, we will meet in my Father's kingdom. And then, brothers and sisters, he raised his head. His back's got to be bleeding up against a rough wooden cross, horrendous pain. And what did he do? He looked out across the crowd, the people that had done this to him, and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He prayed for us, brothers and sisters. He followed through with his ministry to the point of his death upon the cross. And Jesus' family and followers, they took Jesus from the cross and they prepared him for burial. They put him in his tomb and they rolled the stone in front of it, and that's where they left Jesus to rest in peace through the eternities. But we know God had a different plan. For on the third day, Jesus took off those chains of death and he left that tomb and he was resurrected. So why we celebrate Easter, brothers and sisters? When I think about what Easter means to me, I cannot help but be grateful for the whole of God's plan. From the creation of man and the love he has for us, to the birth, the baptism, the ministry, and the crucifixion of his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Today we celebrate the death and resurrection of life, that we too, though we may sin, we may also be washed clean of our sins and live again, sin-free in Christ Jesus. I got to introduce you to somebody this morning. Brothers and sisters, this is my grandson, Mason. He is 5 years old. To me, this is what the resurrection is all about, brothers and sisters. This is where I have the opportunity to enter the waters of baptism and come up resurrected from my sins, that I may learn the lessons that I learned, that I may share them with my grandson. And in turn, he shared them with his grandson. And in turn, their grandsons. And in the time of choosing, in the time of God's choosing, we will all meet together in that everlasting life, that we will walk in the presence of God and feel that ever so sweet and hear that ever so sweet voice. This, to me, brothers and sisters, is what the resurrection is all about. May God bless each and every one of you with a happy and joyous heart this Easter day, our day of resurrection.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's give all three of them one more hand of our speakers this morning. We'll call the worship team up one more time. We'll just sing one song very quickly, and then we'll be released to go back for our brunch. Aren't you glad for what he's done for you? Hallelujah. It was a price that had to be paid. But I'm so glad he paid it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. If you would, let's all rise and we'll sing with the worship team this morning. Father, thank you for what you've done. Thank you, Lord, for saving us, Lord, for washing away our sin. Lord, we ask you, Lord. Lord, that you'd continue by your Spirit to lead us and guide us. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Speak to us about those that are around us, Father God, so that we might minister through you. Lord, continually continually, Lord. Refresh us with your Spirit. In the name of Jesus, we pray. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Praise God.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.